Well, happy 2021, everyone. We made it. And happy 10th day of Christmas. I cannot remember a New Year's season that's been filled with more relief at the change of the calendar date, or a Christmas season filled more with hope in the Word made flesh. Both things symbolizing the opportunity for a new start, for new hope. But that thing about Christmas is not just hope for just the future. This morning's gospel tells us that our hope is even bigger than the future. For hope comes from Jesus, the Word, who existed before time, before creation itself, and who, as our second reading puts it, and in whom our second reading puts it, chose us before even the foundation of the world. The infant Jesus, as my friend's picture depicted it, is the Word that made the world before there was ever a 2020 and a 2021. And that Word has become flesh. And that Word become flesh is our hope. So for just a few minutes, I want to ponder that with you. Because I think it's significant that the gospel uses the word flesh here. John doesn't say the Word became human, although that is certainly true, or that the Word became a baby, or that the Word became a man. Rather, the Word became flesh, which sounds, frankly, rather earthy. Flesh is not just minds or souls or feelings or thoughts, although, as I preached a couple of weeks ago, those are part of being human and very important. Flesh is muscle mass and tendons and nose hairs that grow too long. That the Word became flesh means that when Mary wrapped the baby Jesus in swaddling clothes and put him in the manger, I'm guessing that 15 minutes later she had to unwrap the baby Jesus and put him in swaddling clothes outfit number two. So many of our problems as human beings have to do with the fact that we have flesh. See, for example, the pandemic. Flesh is subject to viruses. Flesh gets high cholesterol, age spots, and moves south as we age. Human beings have learned to judge one another on the basis of the color of human flesh. And sure, while there's often a time in youth when flesh can be sleek and beautiful or handsome and strong, a time well beyond the age of swaddling and well before the stage of sagging, let's face it, that's when flesh can get you in a lot of trouble too. But that's what the Word becomes. Flesh. Like us, vulnerable. Vulnerable to pain and to hunger and to thirst. Vulnerable to death on a cross. Most of us try to escape the consequences of life lived in the flesh, hence things like pharmaceuticals and hair dye. The Word of God does not try to escape. God joins us here with all the consequences that an embodied, enfleshed existence brings. But John's gospel tells us more than this. Jesus has brought with him into this enfleshed existence something that we do not know and cannot produce or contain or obtain on our own. The Word became fleshed and lived among us, John says, and we have seen what? His glory, the gospel announces. The full power and beauty of God. In the Old Testament, glory is the shining, untouchable, holy presence of God, thought to live only in one place, in the temple, where only specifically holy people could see it. priests who were properly purified, people who had no disease, whose flesh was in order. For you had to be clean to witness the place where heaven met earth. But in the Word becoming flesh like us, something radically new was underfoot. It was as if God changed the rules of the game. Jesus becomes the new meeting place. The incarnation of Jesus is God's promise that God is completely and totally committed to God's creation. And in that, God declares that our human lives, vulnerable as they are to all kinds of things, are the place where God chooses to bless us. When I was a hospital chaplain, I often visited with people who were completely unconscious, and sometimes I also had the opportunity to pray with their families. From time to time, I was asked whether my visits or theirs made any difference. After all, the patient didn't seem to have any awareness of what was going on. The patient couldn't respond to words, couldn't say anything. Sometimes you could get a squeeze, but sometimes not even that. In that context, I learned how important it is that the Word of God chooses to become flesh, and in choosing to do that, brings God's glory with it. Because what that means is that God's glory is not found in being mentally okay or fully conscious. The glory of God is willing to be found in the sinews, in the stuff, in the bones, in our neurons. If God came once in that way, and it was good news, then surely God would also come to a patient, no matter what their mental status. God would come in their living, breathing, and struggling flesh. God would find a way to meet them and to speak with them. Not as we speak, but nevertheless in a really glorious way. Not one that we could always recognize, but one that would come by promise. And I think that this all has something to say to us in the midst of this pandemic. Because one of the things that a lot of us have been struggling with over these last 9 months is having to do things that are health-wise really hard, like surgery or like hospitalization, or things that are emotionally difficult because someone else in our lives has something that's going on health-wise, like saying goodbye to someone who's dying or sending someone that we love into the hospital on their own. The very fact of our enfleshed existence and our vulnerability to this virus and the fact that we have no escape hatches really well set out for this virus yet means we have to rely on things like social distancing and masks and protocols from the hospital that mean that we cannot be with each other. And that has this huge emotional consequence for us because we're so used to being together and being able to support one another through really difficult times. We're used to being with our loved ones when we have to say goodbye to them. And so there's an emotional consequence that comes with feeling like we're leaving them alone, or that they're by themselves, alone in the hospital, alone on their deathbeds. This is where the promise in the Gospel of John about the Word becoming flesh has something to say. Christmas means that no one suffers alone. Christmas means that no one dies alone. Christmas means that even when we've lost our ability to think or speak or hear or see, the God who blessed the flesh of the infant Jesus with glory remains committed to us and will bless us too. And that is meant as a great comfort to us that the Holy Spirit gives through the gospel, that this gift of Christmas is one that lives with us our whole lives long, and that no matter what our flesh is doing, or no matter what it's vulnerable to, the God who made and loved the world, the God who made the cells of the infant Christ and set them ablaze with his glory, will find us there in ways that are too amazing for us even sometimes to put words to. And so we put our trust in this word made flesh, this word that chose us from before the foundation of the world, this word that has made us holy people, even in our deepest vulnerability and our loss. Amen.